Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church and thank you for coming out on this 4th of July weekend to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and to celebrate the freedom that we have in this great country of ours, and even more importantly, to celebrate the freedom that we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you'll take your red pad and sign it and pass it down, if you've not given us your information, I think probably most of you have, but maybe you've got a new email address or a new cell phone number, something you would like to give us, that would be fantastic. A few announcements that we have. I remind you that the nursery is open. We have a new nursery worker, Carol, seems to be a really nice lady, mature, and I think that you will like her. She should be there just about every Sunday. For church, and then when we go back in the fall, we'll be there for Sunday school and church. The Women's Association will be meeting next Sunday after worship. This Tuesday, we normally meet on Monday, but because of the holiday session, we'll be meeting Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. Vacation Bible School is July 18th through 22nd. Regular youth group meeting will be July 10th. Deacon's Annual Pig Roast is in September. Next Sunday, I hope that you can really come out for this. We're having three new persons join the church, and then the Sunday after that, we'll be having a baptism. Very excited about that. And the choir is going to be here to sing a song for that. Artis will be taking a vacation day, which is her birthday, on July the 7th. So the office hours are normally 9 to 1 p.m. and Tuesday through Thursday or through Friday, but she'll be off this Thursday. So mark that on your calendars if you need to talk to her, that she'll not be in on that day. And I'll come down and check the messages. But if you need something, you can always call me and I'll do my best to handle that. Our Presbyterian form of government, we meet every 2 years, General Assembly. They passed a lot of new things. We've been talking about it as much as we can in session, but the things are just now have the official votes. So some things passed. If you want to read about them, I'll try to write about them a little bit in the Valley newsletter, but I cannot do enough to do it justice. But you can go pcusa.org and you can find all the links and read all that you want to about it. That was a confession of faith they were trying to pass. It did not pass, which is fine. We've already got one, I think, covered everything. But one of the big things is it's a new form of government. We have what's called a Book of Order. And it tells us how we operate as a Presbyterian church, not just our church, because we're a connected church, how all the Presbyterian churches in the United States of America operate together. And so that is changing, probably the most dramatic change, well, I know it is, since I've been a minister, and I've been an ordained minister this week in the Presbyterian church for 25 years. And so this is a big change. So I'm trying to learn and read about the changes that are being instituted. Like a little small change, as some of you remember, elders are going to be called ruling elders again, and a minister will be called a teaching elder. And sessions, instead of being boards, if I'm understanding this right, will be called session councils. So there's a lot of different things. So we're going to have to be writing new bylaws. All that is got to be done by the session. So there's a lot of work ahead of us. And the new Book of Order comes out for 11, 12, and 13 on July the 10th. And you can order it over the internet, or you can order it at Cokesbury Bookstore at on 19 in Cranberry, or you can go to the seminary over in Highland, and you can order it from them or pick one up when they come in. I think they're going to be about $12 or something. Don't hold me to that. But the second part of the Book of Order is the Book of Confessions, and you can get that also. But it's very, I think, good for all of us to know how our church operates. At times, we've gotten confused and think that the Presbyterian Church is a congregationalist church. And a congregationalist church is where the congregation votes on everything. But we're a representative form of government where you elect elders to vote for you for 3 years, and then if they're going to go back on, they need to be reelected to go back on for another 3 years. Sometimes we just get somebody elected for 3 years and we just, you know, you're back on for that other term automatically. Or you can go on two terms. If you fill a term, say somebody, a one-year term needs to go on, then you go on 1 year, then you can be elected to go on for the next 3 years, so you can serve a total of 4 years before you have to go off for a year. So there's a lot of little nuances that we need to know about, and I found out as a minister, a lot of times when there's problems within the church family, very seldom it's not been over theology, it's been over the form of government and how we operate as a church. So we're going to be trying to nail that down, write any policies and procedures, the bylaws, and putting a new personnel committee together that it will be standardized, and trying to get the committees to write their duties, and so when new people come on, they will know what they're supposed to do. So I'm trying to inform you a little bit, but also asking for prayers for all that has to be done. So there is a lot of work ahead of us. So thank you for your prayers, your understanding, and I hope everyone will get the Book of Order. It can be a little drudgery reading through it sometimes, but parts of it is really nice to read. So any other announcements that need to be made? This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise, very patriotic, 571, My Country, 'Tis of Thee. One little announcement before we say the prayer of confession. I don't want to mislead anyone with the announcements I was saying, because that's a lot to absorb. Things will be voted on by the congregation that are appropriate to bring before the congregation. So don't think this session is going to be making all decisions and then everything is forced upon you. Many things will be brought before the congregation to be voted on. So I want that to be clearly understood. So thank you. Our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the freedom we have in this great country. We praise you for the ultimate freedom we have found in a relationship with our Lord and Savior. Forgive us when we are too tired to tell others about Jesus. Help us to keep our minds and our bodies strong so can we minister to one another in love. Remind us that we should have a sense of purpose as the church at Glenshaw Valley. Teach us how to work together while being yoked to Christ. May we let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal, silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven. A sense of community and unity as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
God, the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day and sit upon the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Our response reading is on Comfort 652 in the back of your red hymnals. Comfort. We could all use some comfort, some rest. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me.
If it were not so, but I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you.
When I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also.
If you love me, you will keep my commandments.
And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever.
Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort which you experience when you patiently endure the same suffering that we suffer.
Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort.
I'd like to open up this portion of the service for the pastoral prayer, and if you'll be in prayer for people having picnics and traveling today, and for new member reception next Sunday, and for the baptism for the following Sunday. One of our former members, Charlie Gray, used to sing in the choir, is in Passover, at least he was. So let's be in prayer for him. For my wife, Robin, if you'll continue to be in prayer from her, from her back surgery. She is doing better, but of course having still some pain in her back and some residual effects down her into her hip and her leg. And we see the doctor on July the 7th, and they'll decide whether she has to have any physical therapy or not. From Ural, I prayed for her before the service from her treatments and then some infection that she's having. Those will go away. A couple of unspoken requests that the Lord knows about. For the new form of government, for the Presbyterian Church, for the whole entire Presbyterian Church, and then our local Presbyterian Church here at Glenshaw Valley, and our presbytery as we work through this new form of government and see how it affects us in the long run. Any other prayer requests at this time? Okay. Heidi, a friend suffering from bladder cancer, and Ellen, who lost her job about a month ago. Okay, boss's son is probably going to Afghanistan in September. And let's pray for all of our troops that are overseas in harm's way, especially in all of our military, whether overseas or not. Any others? Yes. We just pray for relationship problems that can work out. How's that? Okay. Okay. For Alicia, for relationship problems that'll work out. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and lead you into the Lord's Prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this 4th of July weekend, our Declaration of Independence, what it has meant for the United States of America, what it means for us today, our freedom, what it has actually meant for the world, those countries that do not have freedom, that look to us for some guidance, for some understanding, to gain their freedom. May we show them the way. But as we do so, may we do so in a proper way. May we show them what true freedom is. And by doing so, may somehow we be able to show them Jesus Christ, where the real freedom lies. Because regardless of the freedom that we might have in the United States, it is temporal. But the freedom that you give us in salvation is everlasting, and we thank you for that. We ask for your blessings upon our lives this day, upon the life of our country. that our leaders can be trustworthy, because we know so many of them are not. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they commit adultery, they run for office not for the benefit of the people, but for their own self-aggrandizement. Help those running for office to run really for the people, for the nation, for you. And help us discern who we should vote for, irregardless of party lines, if we need to cross them to vote for the proper person. Help us to discern that through the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for Glenshaw Valley, for this small but we hope faithful church, as we seek to do your ministry, not ours, to love one another, to find patience with one another, understanding with one another, to work together, yoke together, and then yoke together in Christ, first of all. Help us to move forward, that we can grow in numbers and love and understanding and mercy and spirit and in truth and knowledge, that we can help others find the freedom that Christ and Christ alone offers to the world. We pray for everyone that has been mentioned today, that you meet the needs in their lives, and for all those with unspoken prayer requests. We all, each and every one of us, have many needs in our lives, some that seem insignificant but are not, some that are very large. Help us, Lord, to work through them. Help us to understand that you are there to give us comfort and a sense of peace, to be with us every step that we take, every day. Help us to make it through this day, and then we can get to tomorrow. Lord, thank you for this beautiful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn, a screen song, God is My Refuge. There really is no other refuge.
God is my refuge and God is my strength.
Let us bow for a word of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the cross of Jesus Christ, what it means for the world. Thank you for the freedom. Thank you for the love, the mercy, the forgiveness that you have given to each of us. Help us to extend that to others, to our family, to our friends, those that have wronged us. And Lord, I thank you for the gifts that have been given to Glenshaw Valley to use for your glory. Yoke us together in Christ that we might move forward in your glory. Thank you, Lord. Bless this congregation this day and every day. In the precious name of Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen. Thank
you. Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley.
Good morning.
Today's scripture comes from Matthew chapter 11, 25 through 30. Sometimes it's worthwhile reading some of the information beforehand to understand what's going on within the scripture. In verse 16 of this chapter, Jesus refers to the people of his generation, or the people that are there at that time, as squabbling children, arguing about things of the world. He then goes on to criticize many of the people that live in the cities who are wrapped up in their worldly wisdom and still don't see Jesus for who he is, the coming Messiah. So one of the things that I'll be reading talks about the weary and the burdened. And that may be even expanded to say those people who are weary of the world's troubles and burdens. And the burden part, because it's been used in other places in the Bible, refers to the burden of the law. Trying to live up to the law rather than live up to a relationship with Christ. So bear these things in mind as I read today's scripture lesson, Matthew 11, verses 25 through 30. At that time Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all those who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Amen. Thank you, Bill. Oh, I forgot to put the scripture up. It's been like this all morning. I just started the holiday a little early, I guess. Sorry about that. A welcome on this 4th of July weekend. Tomorrow we are celebrating one of the most remarkable documents ever written. We know it as the Declaration of Independence. We give thanks to God for our freedom, and we pray that a day when all the world's people will be free. There's a delightful story about an elderly lady who always wanted to travel abroad, so she had to go and get her passport. So she went to the passport office and asked how long it would take to have her passport issued. The clerk told her that she would have to take a loyalty oath first. Said, "Raise your right hand." Lady did what she was told and said, "Do you swear to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, domestic or foreign?" And she heard that and her face grew pale and she trembled and she asked in a very small voice, "You mean all by myself?" Well, that would be a big responsibility if you had to defend the United States against all enemies, domestic and foreign, by yourself. Our lesson for today is from Matthew. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What an interesting lesson, I think, for this weekend. I say it is interesting because there's a statue that stands in the New York Harbor that we all know about, welcoming immigrants from almost every land on this earth. We know her as the Statue of Liberty. Within the pedestal on which this great statue stands is a poem by Emma Lazarus, graven on a tablet with these immortal words that describe the highest ideals of this nation of immigrants. I'll be with y'all in a minute. Give to me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse to your teeming shore. Send these, your homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Today, we as a nation may not be quite as willing to extend that invitation as we once were. But thankfully, Christ still extends his invitation to all who would heed it. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Do you know what it is to be really tired? I think I must be this morning, so bear with me. But I was amused to read an incident about Yosemite National Park. Some of you are probably familiar with the gigantic dome in that park called Half Dome. You've probably seen it. Maybe some of you climbed up to it. But it rises up 4,737 feet above the valley floor. In 1993, a woman called 9/11 from the top of the Half Dome, saying that she was really tired, and she was using her cell phone, of course, and said, you know, I'm on the top of this dome, and I'm really, really tired. The answering ranger asked her if she felt sick, if she was ill, if something really wrong. She said, no, no, I'm just really tired, and I want my friends to drive to the base and come pick me up. The dispatcher explained that she would have to descend down the trail the same way that she ascended up. But she said, you don't understand. I'm really, really tired. And the ranger said he got really blessed because her cell phone battery died right in the middle of the conversation and he didn't have to deal with her anymore. But anyone who's ever gone on a long hike like that knows what it is to just be bone tired, and you get somewhere and you say, oh, I've got to go all the way back now. It can be a long journey. Some of you parents, some of you mothers know what it's like to be really bone dead tired taking care of your children or your grandchildren. I heard of a mom who was playing cops and robbers in the backyard one summer evening, and her little boy pointed the gun at her and said, bang, you're dead. And she fell to the ground, and she lay there, and she just lay there. And a neighbor saw this, and the neighbor got all worried and ran over to her. He said, are you okay? And the mother didn't even lift her head, but just raised up one eye and said, shh, this is the only rest I get. Go away. Hikers and busy moms aren't the only ones that just feel tired and just drained of their energy sometimes. Pastor and author Gordon MacDonald says that his father taught him that to ski when he was a young boy. And he says he remembers one of the first pieces of advice that he gave him about skiing. He said, remember, son, more accidents happen at the end of the day when you are tired than they do at the beginning of the day when you are fresh mentally and physically. So trying to get one more downhill run in before the ski row closes, some skiers will rush down the slope, forgetting that their bodies are tired and that the reflexes are no longer sharp. Shadows are long and icy and bare spots hidden. The combinations of a depleted body and obstacles not easily seen creates conditions in which accidents are far more likely to happen. He said, you know, my dad was right. And at the end of the day, it is wise to ski much more cautiously. You can be more tired than you realize. Plus, you can't always trust the terrain. Fatigue has been a factor in many tragic accidents. When I was in college in Houston, Texas, and I was working my way through college at Southwest Oilfield Products as a machinist, I had a best friend by the name of Rick Gonzalez, Mexican-American young man. He was married, had a beautiful little baby girl. And he took a preaching engagement to go do a revival at a small church. Both in school full-time, working full-time, he did the preaching and was coming back late at night on the interstate. He fell asleep, ran into the pillar on the interstate, killed himself, his wife, and his baby. Tragic. Sleep. Lack of sleep. Fatigue. Poor reaction time. According to the Sleep Foundation, more than 60% of Americans get less than 8 hours of sleep. This is the rest that the average American requires. Some people less, some people more. But 43% of Americans report that several days each month they're too sleepy to perform efficiently at work or at home. On a less dramatic scale, how many of us are grouchy or short-tempered with loved ones simply and solely because we are tired? If Robin was here right now, she'd be saying amen. It's almost as if Christ had us in mind when he spoke those beautiful words, "Come to me, all you who are weary and overburdened, and I will give you rest." You realize, of course, a tired body is preceded by a tired mind. Not always, of course. Some people are tired because they do hard physical labor. Others are tired because of strenuous recreational exercise, though not as many as you would think. Many people are running or swimming or basketball or some other strenuous sport will tell you that over time, exercise actually gives you more energy in the long run. The worst thing you can do is just become a couch potato because you lose the energy that you have. A tired body is preceded by a tired mind. Of course, I realize that exercise is not for everybody. One man said his doctor told him that jogging would add 10 years to his life. Man started jogging and he said, you know, I think he was right. I feel 10 years older already. Another guy said, He said that he had finished his 50th push-up this morning. That's pretty good. Finished his 50th push-up. But he said, well, you know, I started back in 2005. But I got that 50th push-up in. Dr. George, my doctor told me, y'all didn't know this, but he told me that he wanted me to get up early in the morning and jog around the block 6 times. So I've been getting up every morning at 6 o'clock and jogging around the block 6 times. So I do it religiously. 6 times, jog around the block every morning. Then I kick that block back under the bed and I crawl right back into bed and go back to sleep. Makes me feel so refreshed. Sleep like a baby after that. Yeah. Most of us are not tired from straining our muscles. Most of us are tired because of mental things that stress us out. I know that's what most of my tiredness comes from. It takes energy to deal with customers all day long, draining to sit in front of a computer screen all day long. Many have jobs that are repetitive, doing the same thing over and over and over. It drags and drains you. And you come home and you're tired and you don't feel like doing anything. You don't want to take care of the kids. You don't want to cook dinner or supper, work in the yard. Just want to kind of be left alone. But then something quite interesting happens. Somebody calls you and say, you want to go dancing? You want to go bowling? You want to go see a movie? Something that you enjoy. And all of a sudden, you're refreshed. It's because you become mentally stimulated, and it's something that you enjoy. And so you become revived, and you're ready to go again. You get a burst of energy, and it's not because of Red Bull. Well, maybe it is. It's amazing how much energy people have, though, who are driven by a sense of purpose. Do you have a sense of purpose about anything in your life? Ralph Waldo Emerson once said that the power of the Gulf Stream will flow through an ordinary drinking straw if you put it parallel to the Gulf Stream. It'll flow right through it, all that power. And the same is true of our lives. If we can align them with a sense of purpose, and if we can align them with God's perfect will for our lives. The yoke suggests that we're getting prepared to work in concert, or consort, with Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the power of the universe, the Creator. The rest that Jesus gives is not the rest of lying around on the couch doing nothing, which is good to do sometimes. Please don't get me wrong. I love to do that. The rest it gives us is the power of a renewed mind and a refreshed spirit. It is the rest of a sense of purpose within our lives. One of the great missionaries of the 20th century was a man named E. Stanley Jones. Jones is a man of amazing energy. He wrote several books, best-selling books, and it's hard to imagine that his career was once threatened and nearly cut short by chronic worry and fatigue. When he first arrived in India, Jones wore himself out by working, but more of it was by worrying all the time. When he first arrived in India, Jones wore himself out working and worrying. He said, I was suffering so severely from brain fatigue and nervous exhaustion. He said, I later collapsed, not once, but several times. Literally collapsed. He said, aboard a ship returning to America, Jones collapsed again, and the doctors put him to bed. After a year's rest, he attempted to return to India, but became a bundle of nerves and collapsed again, and landed in Bombay a broken man. And his colleagues warned him to get out of this. It was literally, this anxiety was going to kill him. While praying one night, groping in emotional darkness, Jones seemed to have heard a voice ask him, Are you yourself ready for this work to which I have called you? He said, No, Lord, no, I'm not. I'm done for. I have reached the end of my resources. The voice seemed to say, if you will turn that over to me and not worry about it, I will take care of it. Jones answered, Lord, I close the bargain right here. From now on, I will let you take care of it. A great sense of peace, Jones said, came over him. He felt a rush of abundant life that seemed as it lifted him off his feet. His energy returned, his enthusiasm bubbled up, and he was able to get back to work with a vitality that he had never known in his life. Maybe you and I need to bargain with God and to turn our lives and our worries and our frets over to God and let Him handle it. I found out in my own life I can't handle those things. All it does is beat me down. So many of us are tired because of mental and emotional conflicts that are draining us of our energy. And all of us need to turn our worries and our concerns, our doubts, and our fears and our anxieties over to God. As your worries and your concerns, your doubts and your fears, just let me ask you this. Have they helped you? Then why keep doing it? If it's not helping, try something different. To be yoked to Christ is to have new purpose and new power. The elderly lady who went to the passport office didn't want to feel the weight of protecting the Constitution of the United States on her shoulders alone. And this is a common mistake. Many of us are trying to shoulder our burdens alone, burdens that Christ wants to shoulder for us. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, a yoke is most commonly associated with oxen and other animals that are harnessed together so they can help a farmer plow. To be yoked with Christ is to allow Him to shoulder the burden of our daily lives, not just something big that comes along, but an everyday yoking with Christ. Carrying the problems for us, not putting them on our shoulders, but saying, "Here, Christ, you take the burdens. I can't handle them. They're just too big. And all these little burdens are starting to push me down." Dr. Herb True tells about a conversation he had with the trainer of Clydesdale horses. He said, "One Clydesdale horse alone can pull a weight of 7,000 pounds. Can you imagine that, pulling 7,000 pounds? Now, if you yoke two Clydesdale horses together, they can pull 18,000 pounds. That's a little more than double. And that's tremendous. But if you take those two same Clydesdale horses and you work with them and train them to work in tandem together, those same two Clydesdale horses go from 7 to 18 to pulling 25,000 pounds. More than triple what one can pull. Learning to work together. Husbands and wives need to work together. Not pulling apart, going in different directions is so easy. We start fighting for power in relationships, seeing who can get the upper hand. I want it this way. No, I want it this way. And we do it in church, too. We do it on our boards and our committees. I want it this way. No, I want it this way. Let's see who's got the most power. Let's see who can bull through and get it their way. Which what we need to be doing is always making sure, are we doing it God's way? Am I really doing what God wants done? Even in business, when you get people working together, it's called synergy. Get two people complementing one another, working in tandem, and more can be done together. Get the boards and the people of the church working together, communicating well, and more can be done. Because lack of communication causes problems. Good communication causes things to work together and move forward productively. The English theologian F.B. Meyer once visited the American evangelist Dwight Moody in Northfield, Massachusetts, and Moody showed Meyer a team of oxen. And he brought one oxen over and he put the yoke on, and then all of a sudden the oxen that was way over in the other field came running over to be yoked automatically with the other oxen. He didn't just stand over there bullheaded and say, I'm not yoking with that oxen, I'm not working with him. No way. Well, nothing to do with him. Have you seen him? Have you talked to this oxen? We can't get along. I don't like him. He's no good. And he comes over and he stands in there and he waits to be yoked together in commonality. And then they start plowing that field together. And that's how Christ wants it for us. I'm not saying it's easy, my friends, because it's not always easy. But that's what Christ is requiring and calling us to do. To try to yoke ourselves together through Him and work together as families at home and then as family here at Glenshaw Valley and even in your places of employment the best you can to work together for your business. Sometimes we don't want to do that, we're just out of business, but man, be thankful you got a job in this economy. Do your best that you can. Jesus stands with the yoke upon his shoulder. He calls each one and says, come and share my yoke and let us plow together the long furrow of your life. I will be the true yoke fellow to you. The burden shall be on me. How about you? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Are you ready to trust him with your worries and emotional conflicts? Are you tired of being the lone wolf? Because you know something? I hate that terminology. There is no such thing as a lone wolf. Wolves run in packs. You know why they howl? Because they're trying to find their pack. They're reaching out to the pack to come to them, that they can find their pack to get back into that pack. We don't need any lone wolves. We need to work as a team, and we need to work with our leader, Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. May God bless you. Amen. Our closing hymn, 574, goes more with, what our country needs. Maybe more with the particular sermon this morning. As you prepare to leave the sanctuary, I hope you go out and have a wonderful day and a beautiful 4th of July, and you think about the freedom. Really think about it. Don't just go to a party, but think about the Declaration of Independence and the freedom that you have in the United States of America. Has there ever been a greater country than that we have? Let's don't lose the freedom that we have. But think even more about the freedom that you have in Jesus Christ. And let's keep that freedom too, and accept that freedom that you have. And go in that freedom and tell others about Jesus Christ and the love that you have found and the peace. Go out from this sanctuary. Go into the world and help others find love and peace and freedom. Go in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.